As I was preparing this message, it's been an interesting week because I was writing a Good Friday message and an Easter message in the same week, and God was taking me on this journey, and I'd be moving between one and the other, but the Easter one was just not happening, and the Good Friday one was happening, and this morning I'd prepared a message, and there's about 14 scriptures I was going to share with you this morning, and as I came in here this morning, I just felt that wasn't what the message God wanted this morning. So AJ, I'm letting you know you can just leave that slide up. Now, I know I would normally lead in with a scripture and what have you. And, you know, today I'm really reflecting on this day because we recognize Christmas, right? What a great day, right? Jesus is born and he's coming. God has stepped into the world and it's great. He's coming to know us. And we have Easter where, you know, it's amazing. Jesus has risen. But today is like a funeral. I wonder if any of us really contemplate what Good Friday really means and what it's about. We know that after Jesus died, the disciples spread. Some of them went back to fishing. They all went back to things that they knew. They had spent 3 years with Jesus, but that's what they did. They went back to what they knew. They were expecting this earthly kingdom to come about, and they were going to be a part of it, and they had no clue, for some reason, that wasn't what it was about. And so, I think all of us in this room have lost somebody close to us at some point. And the mourning and the sense of loss, and even more so because they had this greater expectation. I want to look at Isaiah 53, 1-6. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hid their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, when Isaiah had those words, if you know anybody who has a prophetic gifting, they actually have vision. They actually see what's happening. They have an idea of what's going on. And these words, they're penned like poetry. Right? In fact, it's been said the book of Isaiah in some ways can be considered poetry. And when we read through this and we understand this was written by rough estimate 500 to 600 years before Jesus died. So we know, I can't fathom what Isaiah saw when he penned those words. I can't fathom the depth of what he saw. And yet Jesus died on that cross. We know that he loved us so much. God loved us so much that not only would he come into the world and show us how he could become like man and understand our sin and understand our temptations and yet not be tempted himself. And yet do we really comprehend that? This is Good Friday. And I've come to realize how personal it is for me. A man was taken who was innocent. He was tortured. There is reference to his beard being ripped out of his face. Guys, how many times have you had a nose hair pulled accidentally and how much that hurts? Imagine your beard being ripped out. Imagine the torture. And then being led through the streets and ridiculed and then nailed to a cross. and left to die. The reason why we have Good Friday, there is only one reason. There was an absolute reason, but only one reason why Good Friday had to happen. Sin. You know, I read a lot and I listen to a lot of sermons from other pastors, and I see some very interesting views in some Christian authors. And yet so many of them glaze over sin. We forget the reason why Good Friday had to happen is sin. Not one of us is without sin. All the way since Adam and Eve fell, the scriptures say that sin was spread into humanity through Adam and Eve, that it's a part of our nature, so it actually moves. If you read it in the Greek, the word that's used is literally to spread, like an infection. So we have this nature within us. And it's hard to imagine a little over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died for my sin. That was over 2,000 years ago. How can that be? And yet we know that's the case. Why? I want to look at Hebrews 10. I'm going to try to find it here. Give me a second. Hebrews 10, 1 to 18. It's a little long. Sorry. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped the offering? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once and for all, would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But these sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you prepare for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God.'" First he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased by them, though they were offered in accordance with the law." Then he said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." He set aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when the priest has offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for the enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit testified to this about us. First, he says, "This is a covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless act I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. You know, the book is obviously written for Hebrews, and I mean, the Hebrews were Jews, right? They understood the law. They understood the sacrificial system. Leviticus lays out an entire sacrificial system that would help atone for sins. But it was something that had to be repeated. It's something that had to happen. Jesus Christ became the perfect sacrifice. If you actually study the book of Leviticus, Jesus Christ fulfills all five of the sacrifices that are required in one day. In fact, in a matter of about 3 hours. We need to understand that as the Hebrews read this, they understand how the priest system works, how the sacrifice system works. So I commit a sin, I go buy a bull, I take it to the priest. The priest says, "Put your hands on the horns of the bull and transfer your sins to the bull." And then they slaughter the bull, right? And they do the sacrificial elements that are required. There is this element of understanding today that we need to understand. The concept of sin. The concept of sin in our lives. That instead of now having to sacrifice something every time we think of a sin, we can just confess it, and it is forgiven. Brothers and sisters, that's a freedom. That is a freedom that we need to embrace and we need to recognize today. Because it's sin that put him on the cross. It was the final and complete atonement that needed to happen. It was the one thing that had to take away God's wrath towards humankind. Today, I want us to be thinking and reflecting. A man died for you. He put himself in your place, that God can look upon you with favor and with grace. Brothers and sisters, I want us to take today and really reflect on that. This is a day of mourning. And I want us to mourn this, that Jesus had to do this for us. Don't worry, Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. We're going to celebrate the rising. But today we need to mourn the fall that had to happen, that Jesus took our place. As we conclude this service, we're going to end this a little differently. First thing is there's going to be a short video that's going to be playing. During this time, we're going to take some quiet time, and there's some paper and pens on the back table, and there is this lovely little device that we're putting at the foot of the cross. If there's something today that is hanging on to you, if there is a sinful desire, if there is a trouble or a worry in your life that you are harboring, if there's anxiety, I would encourage you to go to the back, take a slip of paper, write it down, and come up and leave it at the foot of the cross. I'm not going to read these, don't worry. Nobody's going to read these. We're going to destroy them right after the service. This is strictly between you and Jesus. But we want to give you that opportunity. And then as we enter into communion, Pastor Marshall and I will be up front and we'll hold the elements. And when you're ready to come forward to receive, just tear off a piece of bread, dip it in the juice, and take it when you're ready. After you've partaken, or if you don't want to partake at all, I respect that as well, you're free to leave. If you want to visit, by all means, visit in the lobby. We love to see people visit after service. But if you want to stay here in the sanctuary and do business with God, we encourage you to do that. It'll just be a quiet place. There will be a couple of us up front. If somebody needs prayer this morning, or if you have questions about this, we'll make ourselves available for that as well. This day is entirely about how you want to end this service. And we give you that freedom. So I'm going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you that when we were caught in sin, O God, you made a way out. You gave us a solution. And Lord, that solution is available for every single one of us here to accept and partake in today. All it takes is a decision, Lord. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would come and speak to our hearts and minds. Lord, if there's something hanging on to somebody today, Lord, I pray that they will see this as an opportunity to have that released. I pray that they maybe even go back and write it on a piece of paper and leave it at your cross. Lord, as we gather and prepare for communion, Lord, I pray that you would reveal to us anything in our hearts or in our minds or in our life that would keep us from being able to participate in that communion holy and pleasing to you. And I pray that we would confess that and have that released. Most importantly, O God, would you just be with us today? For Lord, this day we mourn that this is what you had to do, but Lord, we are grateful that you did it. So Lord, we lift this up to you. We praise you and we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.